That's right. Second Samuel chapter 7. And Second Samuel chapter 7. And we started at verse 1. I don't know where we stopped, but we'll start at verse 1 again. And it came to pass, when the king sat in his house, and the Lord had given him rest round about from all his enemies, that the king said unto Nathan the prophet, See now I dwell in a house of cedar, but the ark of God dwelleth within curtains. And Nathan said to the king, Go do all that is in thine heart, for the Lord is with thee. And we see David, out of gratitude, he wanted to do this for God. I'm going to push this door up. He wanted to do that out of gratitude for what the Lord had done for him. He wanted to build him a house. We know how the Lord was in the tabernacle before. And he said, look at verse 6. He says, verse 4. And it came to pass that night that the word of the Lord came unto Nathan, saying, Go tell my servant David, thus saith the Lord, Shalt thou build me a house for me to dwell in? Whereas I have not dwelt in any house since the time that I brought up the children of Israel out of Egypt, even to this day, but have walked in a tent and in a tabernacle. And in all the places wherein I have walked with all the children of Israel, spake I a word with any of the tribes of Israel, whom I commanded to feed my people Israel, saying, Why build ye not me a house of cedar? So the Lord said, you tell Nathan to ask David, all the time I've been walking with the children of Israel, have I ever asked you to build me a house? Because Paul said in Acts, he says, why do we think that the Lord, who dwells in heaven and earth, why do you think you can contain him in a tent, in a box, in a house? He says, have I ever asked you that? And David would have to say no. But that's David's gratitude. He's thinking, here is the Lord. He has given me rest round about from all my enemies. Now, think now. Just say you're back with David. You're in David's inner circle. And you know what he's been through, right? We've been reading. We know what he's been through. And from the day one, from the day he was out in the sheep coat, God said, you're going to be my king. So he didn't tell him how, I think we were looking at Acts, how God told Paul, you're going to Rome. He didn't say, you're going to be on trial three times. You're going to be misused. You're going to have a shipwreck. But he just said, you're going to bear witness in Rome. So God tells David, you're my king. Before he pushed the crown on, he didn't say, you're going to go through all these. I worked with a guy, and I had to train him. And as he goes along, he begins to, he sees we have to do things that that he never counted on. So he's like, he'll say sometimes, why do I have to do that? And I'll say, you didn't know that's what you signed up for? I said, didn't they tell you that on the job description? That you'd have to unload pallets or whatever it is he didn't want to do. Mm-hmm. And every day it's something. I said, you didn't know that's what you signed up for? So David, I can see David would say, that's not what I signed up for. Because he went through a lot, didn't he?
Yes, he did.
From the king, from Saul, from all the running, all the hiding, all the war, all the strife, the fear, all those things that he went through. And finally, he gets here and he sits down, and I can imagine he said, whew. He says, when the Lord had given him rest round about from all his enemies. And he says, now, he says, that's grace. That's gratitude. Where he could say to the Lord, he says, Lord, thank you that I'm able to sit back and enjoy this. So he says, I want to build him a house. He, not like we do today. We do like this. He hasn't done anything for us, and we want to go out and get in debt. And say, like the Kevin Costner, like Field of Dreams, if we build it,
yeah, they will come.
Yeah. Not they will come. If we build it, he will come.
Yeah.
So we drag the program in. We drag the program in, set it up, and say, okay, God,
bless this.
Right. Like Cain, mm-hmm. He does it with his hands, and he puts it down, and he says, okay, wait for the blessing. And the Lord says, not this time. He says, if you do what's right. So David, out of his gratitude, he says to Nathan, I want to do this for the Lord because of what he's done for me. And we talked about the rest last week, about when the Lord talks about the rest, it's a promised rest. But it was the rest that they tried to get by works. So they never got it. When they came into the land, Joshua brought them in. And the scripture, look at Hebrews. I believe it's Hebrews chapter 7. Did they get rest in Joshua's day?
No.
Are you sure?
Hebrews what?
Hebrews chapter, I believe it's chapter 8.
It wasn't after they made it to the promised land, not those that died off in the wilderness.
Right, after they made it in.
Oh, yeah.
Did they get rest? Chapter 4. I think I made a note on that. You got that? Yeah, 4 verse. Yeah, 3. Thank you. 3 verse. Start at verse 15. While it is said, Hebrews 3:15. While it is said today, if ye will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation. For some, when they had heard, did provoke. Howbeit, not all that came out of Egypt by Moses. But with whom was he grieved 40 years? Was it not with them that had sinned, whose carcasses fell in the wilderness, and to whom swore he that they should not enter into his rest, but to them that believed not? So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. Let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. For we which have believed do enter into rest. As he said, I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest. Although the works were finished from what? When the Lord put the program together, From the beginning, I was getting ready to point back here. Before he even started, before there was an Adam, there was a rest.
All right. Yeah.
Before there was Noah, there was a rest. Before there was Abraham, there was a rest. So it was prepared. When he talks to he says to Matthew, in Matthew 19, the 12 asked him a question. They said, we forsaken all to follow you. What do we get? And he says, in the regeneration. He said, you'll sit on 12 thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Same thing. The regeneration is equivalent to the rest. The kingdom is the rest. For them.
So it's another way of saying that in the kingdom, like the millennial kingdom,
right,
they will sit
Right. That's what they've been promised. He says it was prepared from where?
Foundation.
Now, compare that with us. Our rest was what? Not from the foundation of the world, but what?
Before
the foundation of the world.
Hidden God.
Hidden God. Isn't that something? That might, maybe that went by you. Hold your hand there for a second. I'm just going. He says their rest, the Jews' rest, was from the foundation of the world. Right?
Yeah.
Our rest is what? Before the foundation of the world. What does before mean?
Prior to
what?
Foundation of the world.
All right. So
if I
do this, if I say, like he told Abraham, look around. He said, all this is what? What was he looking at? He was looking at land. No tabernacle, no temple, no people, just him. He had the promise before anything was ever done. And Hebrews said this, so much so that Abraham, he looked for a what?
City.
He looked for a city whose builder, he didn't see it there, but he knew that he had the promise, didn't he? And I say this, he says to us, he says, I blessed you. I've already blessed you. I've already blessed you with what? All. How many? All.
In heavenly places.
In
heavenly places.
Right. In heavenly places. In Christ. Already. Right? You ever, we used to sing a song in First Philippians back in showers of blessings. Showers of blessings we need. You ever heard that song?
No.
Never heard that song? Okay.
Something of mercies.
What?
That's for the mercies we plead.
Right. Karen knows it. That's, she'll sing it for you later. That's but we already have it.
Okay.
We're not waiting for it. All we need to do now is find out what it is and what? Enjoy it.
Okay.
But he says, back to Hebrews. Chapter 4, he says, verse 4 and 4, for he spake in a certain place of the seventh day on this wise, and God did rest the seventh day from all his works. And in this place again, if they shall enter into my rest, seeing therefore it remaineth that some must enter therein, and they to whom it was first preached entered not in because of unbelief. Again, he limiteth or determined a certain day, saying in David, today, after so long a time, as it is said, today, if ye will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. For if Jesus had given them rest, then he would not afterward have spoken of another day. Now, that's what he called Joshua, who? Jesus. Now, let me try to explain that to you. What the Lord did was, David was a prophet, was he not?
Right.
He was a king, and he also functioned as a priest. David's, his prophecies are in the Psalms, and he said this in the Psalms about the verse we just read, about harden not your heart, that we may enter into his rest. And he's prophesying. He said that because Joshua, even though they went into the land, and they had rest under Joshua, but it wasn't permanent. Because they what? They rebelled. So God couldn't give them a permanent rest. That's why David could prophesy after that, saying there's still a rest that's waiting for them. For them. Are they at rest now?
No.
How do you know that?
Word tells us.
Not just that. Channel 4 tells us. Is there a Channel 4 News here?
Mm-hmm.
Channel 3.
Channel
3.
Every channel.
That's right. Because all you have to do is click on there, and what are they doing? Throwing rocks at each other, bombs. So they're still waiting. But you don't have rest without Jesus. Right. Now watch this. He says, if they would enter into his rest, he says, if Jesus had given them rest. Joshua is a type. That's what Joshua means. Jehovah Savior. In Hebrew. In Greek, it means what? Jesus. That's what it means. Jesus. So, the Holy Spirit can say, Joshua back here, if Jesus had given them rest, then they wouldn't have to wait for another day. But by Joshua not being the Joshua, he couldn't give them the rest. So they have to wait for the second Joshua, who is Jesus Christ, to give them the permanent rest. That makes sense?
For those who believe.
For those who believe. Right. So, look at Hebrews. Where are we back at? Hebrews 4. Verse 4. Look at 4 and 4. He says, for he spake in a certain place of the what?
Seventh
day. Now this is almost, when you see seven, you should think what? Completion, perfection. We've been talking about it for
rest.
10 minutes. Rest.
Okay.
He just said, he says, God made these, he made this, he made this, he made this. And on the seventh day, he what?
Rested.
He rested. Sabbath. Sabbath means what?
Seven.
And rest. So, seventh day he rested. That's why he goes to the children of Israel and he says, remember the
Sabbath.
And do what?
Keep it holy.
Keep it holy. He says, 6 days shall you do your work. But on the seventh day, he didn't reveal it until Moses. Why not? Wasn't what? Wasn't there time to rest? Not only that, they didn't know what they were going to rest for. When he says right here, remember the Sabbath. It was in God's mind. It was prepared from the what? He already knew there was a rest, right? He goes all the way through here. He didn't give it to him. Why not? No nation yet. No nation yet. He didn't give it to him. He didn't give it to him. He didn't give it to him. He gave it to him. I'm sorry. He gave it to...
All right, I wasn't thinking about it either.
He gave it to Moses.
Mm-hmm.
In Nehemiah, he says, I revealed unto Moses my holy Sabbath. And he comes out and he tells the children of Israel, he says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. And what the Sabbath day was, what they were observing, was a like a type. It was a figure. Matter of fact, I'm trying to think of the verse that the scripture tells us what it is. It was a shadow. Shadow. It was a shadow. You know what a shadow is, right?
Shadow.
You know what? Well, you know what makes a shadow? The light shines, right?
Yeah.
And it was shining on something, but there's something in between the light and what it shines on. So it casts a shadow. So the Lord is shining out his rest, but because they're nowhere near understanding it, he gives them the Sabbath day, and he gives them feast days, all these feast days. And it's saying, this is, I'm trying to tell you something, but I can't tell you all of it because you couldn't understand it. There's a sequence to go through. So he says, remember the Sabbath day. All they can think of is, we can't do anything on the Sabbath.
Yeah.
Isn't that what we do?
Yeah.
God has blessed us. He wants the best for you. I'm talking about us.
Mm-hmm.
Saved you, sanctified, justified, glorified, all those process words we talked about. He's giving it all to you up front. And he says, okay, now you give me your body. And you sit back and you know what you say. I can't do that. What about all these things that I want to do? God's stripping all my joy. Am I the only one think like that? That's y'all looking like that. I don't do that. Y'all don't think like that? You don't think that? Say, you know what? I know I'm saved. I'm not supposed to do that, man. Okay. But
wait a minute.
Thank you. Thank you. Maybe y'all don't want to say it, but that's okay. I think like that. I think like that now.
You're young. Yeah, you're young man.
And you know what? I know you think like that too. You know how I know that?
How you know?
Because Corinthians tells me I know that. What things know a man?
Spirit of man.
You know how I know? Because I think like that. So you can't pull it on me. I know. But he says they couldn't get it all at once.
Mm-hmm.
So he gives them the Sabbath day. He couldn't say one day, and he did actually tell them. He says, I'm going to give you a rest. The kingdom. That's why he gives it to Moses. He says, now, this is the rest I'm talking about. It's over here. It's in the land. It's when I put you there and I plant you there and there's no more fighting, no more strife. You be the head, not the tail. You be the blessing, not a curse. And you will bless all the nations and you won't be blaspheming me. The word of the Lord will go out from Zion. That's the rest. But again, they couldn't get it because they were trying to do what? They were trying to work for it. He comes to us. We already have it.
Amen.
Because you know how the rest comes?
When you believe.
But believe what?
The word of God.
That he's done.
Believe what?
He's done it.
That he's done it.
Exactly.
Now, back to Samuel.
Man.
Samuel. And Karen said chapter, what is this? Samuel, what were we? Seven. Right. Now Karen said the key word, when you think of rest, well, I think it is. When I think of rest, it's Sabbath, seven, rest. I think of all those come together. But the main thing is when you think of rest, you ought to think of him.
Amen.
Because without him,
there is no rest.
And this is probably the greatest passage in Samuel right here. Because he groups it all together. Look at this. He says, chapter 7, verse 1, he says, and the Lord had given him rest, right?
Mm-hmm.
He says, now I dwell in the house of cedar, but the ark of God dwelleth within curtains. What was the tabernacle? It was a tent.
Yeah.
A tent and a tabernacle. And verse 6 says the Lord did what? He walked in that. The Lord walked in that.
Mm-hmm.
So for people on the outside, all it was what?
Tent.
Just a tent.
Yeah.
You know, it was on the outside of the tabernacle. It was badger skin. It was fur, like old dirty fur. That's what badger skin is. You ever seen a badger skin? It's dirty. It looks dirty. So on the outside, if you're walking by, you look and say, oh, nothing in there.
Right.
But if you go in there, what's in there? I mean, what's in there furnishing wise? It's nothing but gold. Nothing but gold on the inside. But on the outside is what?
Dirty.
It's, you know what? He was made in the
likeness of man.
He took upon him the form of a servant. But on the inside was what?
It's God.
When he took James and Peter and John up there, Matthew, what? He said, didn't he do that? And he said, you got the right guy. Don't worry about it. He didn't say that, but he buttoned back up. He said, don't tell nobody. And then he went to the cross. But inside was God, wasn't it? The tabernacle, you go in there. He says, I walked in there. I walked in the tent in a tabernacle, and you go through one place, right? And they got all that stuff in there, and you go to the next compartment from the outer court to the inside to the holy place, and then to the what? Holy of Holies. And I think we talked about that, where priests would sprinkle the blood. And look at Exodus 40, the last chapter, I think, in Exodus. Hold your hand in Samuel, though. Last chapter in Exodus. Look at verse 17. Okay. 16, thus did Moses, according to all that the Lord commanded him, so did he. And it came to pass in the first month of the second year, on the first day of the month, that the tabernacle was reared up. And Moses reared up the tabernacle and fastened his sockets and set up the boards thereof and put the bars thereof and reared up his pillars. Verse 20, and he took put the testimony into the ark and set stays upon the ark, and put the mercy seat above the ark. 23. And he set the bread in order upon it before the Lord, as the Lord had commanded Moses. Verse 30. And he set up the laver between the tent of the congregation and the altar, and put water there to wash withal. And Moses and Aaron and his sons washed their hands and their feet thereat. When they went into the tent of the congregation and came near unto the altar, they washed, as the Lord commanded Moses. And he reared up the court round about the tabernacle and the altar, and set up the hanging of the court gate. So Moses, what?
Finished the work.
34. Then a cloud covered the tent of the congregation, and the what?
Glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle.
The what?
The glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle.
And Moses was not able to enter into the tent of the congregation because what?
The cloud abode thereon.
And
the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle.
And when the cloud was taken up from over the tabernacle, the children of Israel went onward in all their journeys. But if the cloud were not taken up, they journeyed not till the day that it was taken up. For the cloud of the Lord was upon the tabernacle by day, and fire on it by night, in the sight of all the house of Israel throughout all their journeys. So when Moses, he did everything God told him. He says, you see that you make everything according to the pattern that I show you in the mount. And he does everything the Lord commands, just the way the Lord wants it. And when he sets it all up, the final result was what? The glory showed up. The glory showed up in there, and it was him. It was God. So I said, all I have to say this is the Lord is, he was in that tent. He was in that tabernacle. So when David, when he finally looks around, he says, I want to build the Lord a house. He was already in the house, wasn't he? It's not the object. It's what's in the object. Right? So if David was on, and he, you know, God bless him, but he's thinking he can't do it without that, without a house.
We got that same problem with that.
We have a, as people, we have a building fetish.
Yeah.
Fixation.
Yeah.
We think the bigger, more God is in it. Don't we?
Yeah.
Oh, you were, I thought you were going to say something.
No, I was just thinking about it even in our personal life. I know how many times have you heard, well, you know, because of what you have physically, well, the Lord's not blessing me.
Right.
This person's got more than I do, got a bigger house, and they equate that with the blessing.
And he's nowhere in it. That's what, is it Laman, right? Where we were talking, is it Laman? Where he was asking him, you know, said, where is the house of God now? And he knew it. He says, in me. That's right. So why would you think that when you go into the building that you're going to meet who? I'm carrying him in there. Well, I'm he's in there when I come in there.
Right.
Isn't he?
Nice.
Yes.
You mean inside of that ideal human God?
That's right. That's right. Oh, right. When you know what? Hey, that's a great analogy because when you look at it, and don't we do that?
Yes, we do.
If people saw us, they would say, no way. No way. No way. Him? And not to mention the places we take him. Right? Maybe used to take him. How's that? Because we think, you know, like the churches we had in Detroit, it'd be a little sign on there, Holy Ghost Headquarters. In there, right, exactly. But David said, he said he wanted to build him a house, and the Lord told him that, when did I ask for a house?
Yeah.
Have I ever asked for a house? Now, he says, but he said, I'll make you a house. Because the house he's talking about is not brick and mortar, it's flesh and blood. Because through the house comes the rest. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Through the house comes the Sabbath.
Okay.
The Sabbath is the rest. Right?
Right.
Through the house comes the seven. Seven is the same as an oath. Remember in Hebrews he says, because I could not swear by any greater, he says, because I could not seven by any greater, I sevened by myself. So when he promised Abraham, where is Abraham?
Sleep.
Isn't he?
Yes.
When he promised Isaac, Jacob, all it is he's handing it down. And one thing that's interesting is this. Look at Genesis 49.
I'm going to have to do that. I have a question.
Okay, what's your question?
Well, and I don't mean to digress, but this really hit me, and I just was curious. You're talking about the Lord swore an oath unto himself.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just thinking in the disciples' prayer, when it says, when the Lord teaches the disciples to pray, he says, hallowed be thy name. Well, the Lord said he was going to hallow his own name.
Right.
And I wonder if that's a similar type of...
That's a good question. Well, the reason he said that was because this. When they were going through the kingdom, they blasphemed his name among the Gentiles because they didn't keep his law. And he told them, he says, even at that day when the Lord was there, he says, in Romans, Paul said this, he says, you are a Jew. You boasted in what you had. You boasted in the law. You said you were a teacher of the babes, an instructor of babes, a teacher, of the, you know, a guide to the blind. He said you did everything with that law except what?
Obey it.
Yep. And he says through you, the name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles.
Yep.
And he says because of that, he says I'll scatter you out there. And he says in Ezekiel, he said this. He said, one day, after the new covenant, after you get the your stony heart out and your fleshly heart in, he says, one day I'm going to cause you to hallow, H-A-L-L-O-W, or make holy my name among those people that you had it blasphemed among. But they can't do it without him. Just like you can't walk worthy without him. He's the one that produces the worthy walk.
I didn't mean to digress. When I heard that, it made me think that... the Lord had said that he was gonna
go
back and regain his name.
Right. And he everything, listen, everything he does is for him.
Amen.
That's why I thought, you know what, we have the idea that it's all about us.
That's so true. That is so true.
That's what's wrong with the church today is we come in there and you come in like this. What about me? What about me, God? Where we should be coming in like David. Like David says, Lord, what can I do? Not what can you do for me? Everything he got was by grace. That's what's so fascinating about that is David didn't deserve any of that. The nation didn't deserve any of that. If anything, he should have been punishing them even more for their idolatry and their rebellion. But he reaches in there all through in that mess they were going through and he picks out David and he says, we're not going to get there, but he says, I'm going to give this man, he said this, the sure mercies of David. What's mercy?
Not getting what you deserve.
What's mercy? What did they deserve?
Death.
What did he deserve?
David.
You know the story of David.
He was a murderer and an adulterer.
He got away with a few things, didn't he?
He said, blessed is the man who the Lord has not.
We just reading words. They don't mean anything. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. If you back there under the law, look, David is the king. This is David. He knew the law. He knew it. Nathan comes in. He said, let me tell you a story, king. Dun. What do you think should happen to that man? Oh, he should restore. Well, we're not there yet. But, and he said, he's mad.
Yeah.
He called the scripture up. He said, this is what's got to happen. And Nathan says, you. Wow. You know what he did? He knew it was over for him. King or no king, the law demanded you and her. It's over. Not to mention the baby. Not to mention his murderous plot. He's done. His reign is over. Nathan comes. He says, don't worry about it. He says, the Lord hath put away thy sin. What does put away mean? What does put away mean? It's gone. He said, the Lord hath put away thy sin. You know what? For us, do you know when he talks about in Romans, do you know the Lord has put away your sin?
All right, now. Amen.
That's your patience.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Father.
Put him away.
Not imputed anymore.
Did you know that?
Yeah. Yes. Thank you,
Father. Put him away. Only person thinking about him is you. And what you should be doing is like David. Lord, thank you. He said, you should know, I was going to, when you know when David came back and his wife saw him dancing? That's what you should be doing. You go home and get in the room by yourself. And
thank you, Lord. Amen.
Put on your ephod and just.
Thank you, Jesus.
Because you know what he did for you.
Yes, Lord.
And you know it wasn't anything that you deserved. That's what Paul uses. That's why Paul reaches back and he says, let me tell you about what God has done for us. The rest he's given us. Remember what David talked about? And that was just for David. But he says, you all got it. All you who believe. He said, you got it. Imputation. All right, Samuel.
Wait a minute. I'm sorry. I apologize. I interrupted you. Going to Genesis 49.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Thank you. All right, Genesis 49. Yeah, you can't interrupt me because I'm not a. My memory is 49, verse 49. This is. When Jacob begins to prophesy about his sons, he goes through this to the 12 of them. Look at verse 8. Judah, thou art he whom thy brethren shall praise. Thy hand shall be in the neck of thine enemies. Thy father's children shall bow down before thee. Judah is a lion's whelp. Where is the Lord from?
Tribe of
Judah. In Revelation, they call him the what?
The lion of
the tribe of what?
Judah.
The Lord's also the what? He's the rightful king, right? Isn't he? He's also what? He's also the rest.
Yes.
He's the rest. Through him comes the rest, right?
Amen.
Watch this. I love this book. He says, Judah is a lion's whelp from the prey. My son, thou art gone up. He stooped down. He couched as a lion, as an old lion. Who shall rouse him up? The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet until... And unto him shall be the what?
The gathering of the people.
Now, he says, until Shiloh come. Guess what Shiloh means? Start with an R, end with a T.
Rest.
How about that? How about that for the Lord? Give the Lord a hand clap. You know the people. But he says, and not only that, watch this. He says, the lawgiver comes from Shiloh, right? And he is the lawgiver, right? And he says it won't depart until Shiloh come. And when they first went out of Egypt, the Lord told him this. He says, you go, and he says, and I'm going to show you the place where I want to be. And they go through, and they get to the land, and they build the tabernacle. And guess what they call the place? I give you one guess. What?
Shiloh.
He says here, the rest, over here he said, the rest is a person. His name is Shiloh. And he says, now, you want to build me a house? He says, I'm going to show you where to go. And they go, they go to the place, and he says, build the place, and they call the name of the place Shiloh. And in that place, they build this tabernacle. And in that tabernacle is who? The Lord. And in the Lord, all he wants to do is give them what?
Rest.
And he says, follow me. The cloud goes up. And he goes through. And he's wiping everybody out. Wham. Wham. And he said, nah, that's the place. Go over there and rest. And they go over there and they do anything but rest. And then he gets one man. He says, I'm going to show you how gracious I am. When you should have been resting, you were clowning. He says, well, I'm going to take this one man and I'm going to show you what kind of rest I can give you. And he takes that man, and David says, now, he says, I don't deserve this, but now that you've given me rest from all my enemies, he says, I got to build you a house to show you how grateful I am. And he says, it's not your time yet. It's not your time yet. But you're going to be instrumental. Because what David didn't know is that the house is not a house. A brick and mortar house. Yeah. The house. The Lord, he said, destroy this house. Destroy this house. And I'll do what? What?
Yeah.
It's been years building this. How are you going to do it? And the script said, how be it, he spake of his body. So right now, look at Colossians chapter 2. Let's see. Well, maybe it's not two. He talks about come on. It might be in Ephesians where he says that it's Christ in you, the hope of glory. Is two? Well, if you find it, that's
Colossians 1.
127.
Sorry, Matt.
Yep.
Yeah, he says, verse 24, he says, who now rejoice in my sufferings for you and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church, whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God, even the mystery which has been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints. and to his saints, to whom, to his saints, God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is
Christ in you,
the hope of glory. Now, he's not saying Christ in you like the hope, like I hope he's in me. The assurance, the expectation of glory. Christ where?
In me.
In you. That's why where Shiloh is,
Christ is in.
Where Shiloh is,
rest.
Where Shiloh is, there's rest. Why are you not resting in him?
Amen.
He is in there, right?
He is in there.
He says, I'm in there, and you got the rest.
Amen.
Say it.
No.
He's in there. And you, well, you know what? You ought to experience it. There should be nothing really that shakes us so bad where it shakes us off our rest. I'm not saying you can't get shaken, but like Paul said, you just gird yourself up and remember what you have. He's not going anywhere.
I will say something. We can be shaken by worldly
things. By what?
By worldly things.
Worldly things. Right, right.
We can't be shaken about our rest in Christ.
Right. That's why he says, set your mind on earthly things. On things above, where Christ
sitteth on the right hand.
And when Christ, who is our
life, shall appear,
then
we shall be with him.
Christ, who is our
life.
That must be a mistranslation there. Christ, who is
our life.
He's in there right now.
Mm-hmm.
And right then, where whenever we do what we do, think what we think, feel like we feel, And he's there with all that we talk about in Ephesians, the exceeding abundant
above
all we can ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us.
Right.
See, the way he works is through this.
Right.
You know what? Popeye. Yeah, you remember Popeye? I don't know if they show it on TV now. When I was younger, I used to like watch Popeye. And when you get in the jam,
the spinach.
You take a can of spinach, and it's all good, right? This is your spinach.
Amen.
This is it. You know, and when you get in the jam, it ought to be in there already. But just in case it's not, that's what, and it'll work. It works effectually in you when you believe it. Effectually is this. I'm right here. I want to get right here. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Effectual is this. It gets you from here to there. Effective is this. It gets you from here to here. So your advice from friends, and if it's not the word of God, it's effective. It'll get you, maybe get you halfway, three quarters of the way. But effectual is when it gets you from here and it reaches its desired effect. You say, I'm depressed. Okay. Well, let the word of God work effectually in you. You believe it?
Yes.
He get you up over there. Out of the pity party. Over to the praise party. Or you angry? The word of God will get you out of the anger, malice, jealousy, bitterness. It'll get you over here where you esteem another.
Flesh and spirit.
The worldly advice won't do that. Because Christ is where?
In us.
He's in you. And he's there for the rest, to give us rest. And all we need to do is access it. We don't have to wait on it like they did, like they are waiting right now. They're still waiting right now for that day, for the day of rest. Let me ask you something. Are you trusting him today? Just him. Not just for salvation, but for the rest of the way. Most of the time. That's better than none of the time. Are you trusting him? You know what's going to make you a better wife? Trusting him. Make you a better husband. Make you a better servant. Put even whatever you want to do. You know what's going to make me a better husband? Trusting him. It's all the same. He's an equal opportunity rester. But if you never trusted him, you know, let this be the day where you say, Lord, I'm tired of struggling. I'm tired of struggling. Right. I'm ready to enter into the rest. And it's already prepared. He says, he died for us. He was buried for us. He's resurrected for us. He ascended for us. And he comes back and he indwells us when we trust him as his Savior. And he's there for whatever. Right there. You don't have to drive. You don't have to drive way over here. You don't have to drive over to summer to get the Lord. Do you?
No.
You go around the back room, pull out this book, just put it down, flip it open. You read it. And it says, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And you are complete in him. That's all I'm going to tell you. Well, you can read that at home, right? But he says, I'll take that now. He says, I'll take that and I'll make it real. We're going to stop there and we'll get back to Samuel again next week. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your word. We thank you for the joy that we get from reading your word and believing your word. And Lord, we thank you for the rest that we get as that word works in us and brings about its desired effect, the effect that you want, Lord, to give us rest, to give us comfort, to give us strength, to give us edification, enlightenment, peace, joy. Lord, we just thank you for all the things that you do through your word for us and the things that you want to do through your word for us. Lord, we thank you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you.